snail cover. It's on my mother. Hot in the moon. Type time we on.
All the way live, all the way live, yeah. All the way live, all the way live, yeah. All the way live, all the way live.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Music's on the Menu. I am one of your hosts, Alex Bird, joined alongside me as always by
Hugh Down.
And as that song suggests, we are actually live this week in a stunning turn of events. The one good thing about final season is that our courses are done, and so we don't have to be in class at Wednesday at 11 in the morning, which means that we can instead actually sit in Studio A at CITR, which is located on the traditional and ancestral territories of the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish Nation peoples in Vancouver. And yeah, dude, it feels good to be in the studio again.
It does. Nice and cozy in here.
Yeah, always toasty warm in Studio A. And it just feels better. Like, it's just kind of more fun to be live, I feel like.
Definitely.
Than pre-recording. But you gotta do what you gotta do. So before we get into it, I have a birthday shout out that I was requested to give.
Shout him out.
Happy birthday, Auntie Cheryl. It was her birthday on December 8th, and wanted a birthday shout-out, so happy birthday to my Aunt Cheryl. Love you.
All right, back to the music. Today is actually Wednesday, December 13th, so we're actually on the day of that we're filming this. Today is actually the day. Mm-hmm. Last week, we got a bunch of new music, It was good for us. We have a lot to talk about. We had two albums that we're going to discuss. We had Tate McRae's sophomore record, Think Later. We got Pink, Friday 2 by Nicki Minaj, follow-up to her kind of smash 2010 success. Mm-hmm. We got a bunch of cool singles. We got another Lyrical Lemonade single. Pharrell dropped a single. Fred again had a single. We got some cool psych rock from Yacht. There was just a ton of new music.
Yeah.
Before we get into the two albums, do you want to shout out any of the singles, since we probably won't be able to talk in too much depth about them?
Yeah, the Lyrical Lemonade single was cool. Jack Harlow and Dave on the song. I feel like you're kind of getting a sense of what the album's going to sound like more and more with the singles.
What have been the singles?
It was the one with Juice WRLD and Cordae, which was called, like, Ice Cream Sandwich or something like that. I don't remember precisely, like, M&M's.
There was one with Lil Tracy.
Yeah. And then there's the Lil Durk one as well. Lil Durk and somebody else, probably.
There's Guitar in My Room. Yeah. Lil Durk and Kid Cudi.
Yeah.
There's Juice WRLD and Cordae, like you said. Okay, so those are the singles. So this is the fourth single.
Yeah.
And there was Lil Tracy, Corbin, and Black Cray.
I actually haven't listened to the Lil Tracy one, but I've heard the other three. It's kind of coming together a bit, like, sonically, topically. Still feel like a lot of these songs are kind of disconnected, but they're all pretty, like, stripped back songs. This song is a good sound for Jack Harlow, especially. Mm-hmm. I think a lot better than, like, what he tries to do with his singles.
Did you dislike his record? What, Come Home, the Kids Miss You?
I didn't care for it that much. Kind of the conventional opinion on it, where it's fine. It's a body of work. Not great. But the one he came out with after, the one where he's just standing in that alleyway.
Jackman?
Yeah, where he's just kind of rapping more freely and, like,
just
straight rapping kind of thing. Like, that's what we get on the single. I think that's kind of a better space for him than to try to make a pop hit or something. Because I think he's a pretty charismatic guy. He's obviously, like, a playful artist. And when you're just kind of in an environment, on a song where you can just sort of be loose and sort of make quips and stuff. I feel like that just kind of serves his personality better.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that about this song for him. And then also Dave is always very strong. And in a song like that, again, where wit, a bit of like wit and personality and sort of looseness as you're just rapping is encouraged, that also serves Dave well as well. So good single from Lyrical Lemonade. Looking forward to the album when that eventually comes out.
Because
I don't know when, but I'm also, I don't like follow, Cole Bennett. I knew it was Cole, but I couldn't remember. I don't follow Cole Bennett on anything, nor do I follow Lyrical Lemonade on anything. So maybe there is a date. I couldn't tell you what the date is, but it seems like it's going to be like a pretty quirky, kind of like a quirky hip hop project is what it sounds like to me.
Could be really cool visually.
Yeah.
I mean, all of the singles have this really cool artwork.
Mm-hmm.
It's like claymation.
Yeah, exactly.
The video for Stop Giving Me Advice was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of Cole Bennett's, like Cole Bennett's video for All the Dogs was super dope too. Yeah. Just another lonely night with Yachty and Drake.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously that's like his thing. So it'd be super dope if all the songs had visuals. Maybe that's why it's... I feel like the first single came out like 6 months ago or something.
Yeah, the Juice WRLD and Cordae song came out over the summer.
Yeah.
And it's December and we're on single number 4 now. So it's been kind of a slow rollout of this stuff.
Hopefully we get some twizz in this album, which I kind of expect.
Mm-hmm.
I personally really enjoyed the Pharrell single, Tickets. Pharrell, yeah. Swae Lee, and Rauw Alejandro.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of... sounds like old school Sway there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that old school Sway Lee, like 2018-19. It's good. I really like Rauw. I love reggaeton. So that's a really cool record. And I just wanted to quickly shout out Fred Again and Baby Keem's Leave Me Alone. I'm a huge Fred Again fan. I've stated that on the show. I know you love Baby Keem.
Yeah.
I think it's a really cool little...
I listened to the song this morning. I just don't think I care for Fred Again's style that much. He does what he does well, but it's not really, it's not for me. Just kind of that style of like, what is it, like house music, electronic music, more broadly, to use a safer term, I guess, where it's like you only have like 4 words throughout the song and they just kind of get spliced in and repeated throughout. And I don't really care for that.
Yeah, it's all about the beat though, right? Like
yeah, I know. But
a drop for Fred.
The repetition can kind of hurts it.
I mean, he's like one of the more popular artists around right now, I feel
like.
Oh,
no, he is, for sure.
Like, he's kind of at the... he's kind of the focal point of EDM right now.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, him and Skrillex and Fortet headlined Coachella after Frank Ocean dropped out. So, like, these guys are... they sling their weight around.
Oh, yeah. I know that. But that doesn't mean I have to enjoy
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, he's cool.
Like that's just like Fred and getting Baby Keem. That's dope.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
That's a good combo.
Yeah, I mean you gotta be good at what you do to have Baby Keem join you. But anyways, we should dive into these records. We'll start. You want to start with Tate McRae? You probably have more to say about Tate McRae.
Yeah, I think we both have more to say about Tate McRae.
Yeah, So Tate McRae's sophomore record, follow up to her 2022. Debut, I Think I Can Fly, or I Used to Think I Could Fly, which was a record I really enjoyed. I Used to Think I Could Fly. I really liked that album. I was introduced to Tate McRae through that single during the pandemic. I think it's called You Broke Me First.
Yep.
It's
kind of what the world was introduced
exactly.
to.
Exactly. And then I kind of didn't hear from her again, and then I heard She's All I Want to Be. She also appeared on that song with...
Tiesto?
No, before then. It was called You.
Oh, yes, Troye Sivan in
Troye
Regard.
Sivan. That's that.
That's an awesome song.
Yeah, so... And then obviously she kind of exploded back with Greedy, which was, I want to say, the first single on this record?
Yes.
The second one was X's. Mm-hmm. Not that many singles, which is something I always really enjoy. I like just... Max 3. But yeah, this is her second record. Perhaps about Cole Sillinger.
Yeah.
But
at least partially.
Yeah.
Cole Sillinger prospect for the Columbus Blue Jackets. It's fun.
Is he from Calgary as well?
I don't know where he's from, but I do have a comment I just want to make about the Cole Sillinger stuff, which the rumor is, for context, apparently...
They were dating, right?
These people were dating, Cole Sillinger and Tate McRae, and then apparently the rumor goes that I've heard that Cole Sillinger cheated on Tate McRae, and then that's what prompted her to make the song Greedy. And the funny thing about... And like that, apparently that's what Greedy's about. But the funny thing about Greedy for me is that it has become kind of one of the songs they play on Hockey Night in Canada as they're transitioning to an ad break and stuff. And so it's funny to me that Tate McRae's song about Cole Sillinger has gotten more airtime on Hockey Night in Canada than Cole Sillinger himself, which is kind of tough, especially when one of them's a hockey player and the other one's just a pop star.
I mean,
they don't even usually play pop on Hockey Night.
No, they don't. It's usually like that, like that orchestral, like,
yeah, well, that's still the intro, but I'm talking about like the like fading out to break and stuff.
Oh, but But anyways, I mean, this is like the last pop record we talked about in depth was Kid Laroi. Mm-hmm. And this is enough. I mean, we've kind of gotten really lucky with kind of pretty deep pop records. Like both this and the Kid Laroi record were far, both artists kind of gave me more than I expected them to. Mm-hmm. They were thematically way deeper than I thought they were both going to be. Similar to the Kid Laroi album, Think Later is the first. Like, when I was first listening to this, I was like, this is all right. Like, these are good pop songs, but nothing's really jumping out to me. And then as I got further into the album, I was like, oh, okay, this is a really good pop record. Like, there's, like the Kid Laroi album, there is a good mixture of certain kinds of pop. We have, like, the guitar ballads and the stripped songs, and you get, like, the super, like, almost house bass on a couple songs. Mm-hmm. Then you have, like, the anthem pop songs, like the two singles. So, like, I'm always a fan of... I just think it's a kind of an indicator of talent. And also, obviously, she's working with Ryan Tedder and Jasper Harris, some of, like, the most creative and sharp people in the pop realm. But I just think that this is another pop album that is juxtaposed of a bunch of different kinds of pop that all just work sonically. The production on this record I thought was kind of weak in the beginning, and then when I listened to it again and got further, I was like, this is really cool. It's really cool. All of the songs, they kind of are in the same vein, but they're obviously different. Thematically, maybe because we kind of know who the songs are about, and that obviously always helps, kind of allows you to digest the song more because you know where it's kind of coming from. Even if it's not about Cole Sillinger, Tate McRae... I kind of was feeling the songs more than I thought I was going to feel them. I didn't have high expectations. I liked the other record, but the singles were such a shift from the other record sound, which kind of like pop rock.
Yeah.
This is more like mainstream pop, or at least the singles were. They were like those pop anthems that you hear on the radio that are for all the girls and get everyone hyped. And I'm not like a huge fan of those. I like the deeper pop cuts, like the kind of... the more thematically diverse pop cuts, but this is a really good record, man.
Yeah.
Just top to bottom. I am this, like, if maybe we start with our expectations, I didn't really have much, or my expectations were kind of tempered because I didn't like the singles and I thought, oh, okay, maybe she's just going to go full blown all the way off the deep end pop. But this surprised me, and I was, this is a good record.
Yeah, I enjoyed the album too. For me, my expectations, I enjoyed Greedy. I enjoy X's.
Those are probably my two least favorite songs on the record.
Okay.
I just think she's better in a slower... I just think her voice, the emotion becomes a little bit more palpable. She's really good in like that sexy song where she's moving her body, but I really like her when songs like Stay Done, or my favorite is... Want That Too, those slower songs. Calgary is also a really good song. Those slower songs that kind of make you open up a bit more. I was impressed by how much I liked those songs and how much she was able to pull me in.
Okay. For me, I feel like I kind of not ob- I just what am I trying to say? Like I really like the production on the on songs like Greedy and Cut My Hair, kind of the more like poppy higher energy stuff at the beginning. I just really enjoy like pop music when it's got kind of an electronic backing to it.
Do you like Messier?
Yeah, Messier's good. Guilty Conscience is a really fun one as well. I don't know, just like kind of higher energy built up, more like electronic production on a pop song, I think is cool. Kind of like, what am I trying to say? Like synthy backed? I don't even know if that's the right term. But
it's just like more expansive pop.
Yeah, from the production side. Cut My Hair is cool because that's in particular more of like, I feel like it's more of like a trap instrumental or like a trap pop song, which I think is a cool sound. And I like that. I like that sound, and just I like her on that sound, like kind of like a pop trap thing. I feel like it goes well, but yeah, like by and large, like I was for my expectations, like I was expecting to enjoy the album. I was expecting it to be pretty good.
The debut record?
No, I had not. I have not. Other than She's All I Want to Be.
Yeah.
So this was like the first full like Tate McRae album I was going into, and yeah, I enjoyed it. I think like the whole thing is pretty strong. Like you had said to me, like when you had first heard it, like the floor is very high here.
Uh-huh.
Again, probably just as a consequence of who she's working with, it's hard to have a low floor when you're working with people like Ryan Tedder and stuff.
The ceiling is higher than I thought it was going to be. Yeah. I have to say that. Now, obviously, like I love One Republic. I don't know how much you listen to One Republic. That's kind of One Republic's kind of
they're cool.
Maybe before our, it kind of is before our time. They're like outside of Counting
Stars. Yeah.
Like Apologize came out in like 2006, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, he is kind of like him and Lewis Bell and Max Martin. They're kind of like the
Holy Triumvirate.
Yeah, they're like the Mount Rushmore of pop. They're like on the Mount Rushmore of pop writing.
Yeah.
But I didn't expect these, like, I was thoroughly impressed with the diversity of pop songs on here. I thought Ryan Tedder was going to, they were just going to hit home with all of these bangers, because they could do that. They absolutely could have an album full of Greedies that are just radio fodder and people, and they just get, we hear them constantly. They're just like earworms. But instead, they were like, oh, let's peel some of the layers back and let's get deeper. Let's, like, some of the guitar instrumentals, like the instrumental on Grave and Stay Down, like, just when I was listening to those and I was like, okay, this is, like, that's kind of when I realized that this was way better than I thought it was going to be.
Hmm.
And obviously, I'm someone who really likes diversity in a record. I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of making that up.
Yeah, I feel like I feel like when it comes to the diversity, though, and what you're talking about, I feel like that's kind of to be expected, though. Like, I feel like you kind of... It wouldn't make for a good album if it was just an album full of Greedies and X's.
Exactly, though. And I didn't...
But I don't feel like... I feel like every pop album is gonna, though, still try to have, like, a Plastic Palm Trees and a Messier and stuff to try to have more emotional, like, slower songs.
But what I found that was why I liked them so much is how personal they felt and how much I was able to understand and relate to where she was coming from. Whereas songs like Airplane Tickets by Swae Lee, which is a pop song, and it's and I like Airplane Tickets probably more than anything on here, but like it's just about like being rich, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like as good of a song to me personally, because as someone who, like, when I listen to music, I want to be in that person's mind, I want to be taken somewhere else. And so, like, as you said, like if we popped in like someone, my thing is, I just didn't think Tate McRae was going to be able to have, I thought there would be diversity. I didn't think she was going to, each song was going to be that good.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to expect from her. Obviously, Ryan Tedder, Jasper Harris, those guys are 10 out of 10. I just didn't listen to Tate McRae enough. Maybe I should have expected this, but I mean, she's wrangled me and I'm definitely a Tate McRae fan now.
Mm-hmm.
Album is streaming well. It's great to hear. I mean,
yes.
I You'd hope it goes number one. I don't think it will. Pink Friday 2, that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, but like Tate McRae's at the point where this is a big deal too. Like, Greedy's bigger than anything on the Nicki Minaj album.
Yeah.
And will continue to be bigger than anything on the Nicki Minaj album. I could see this peaking quite high. I don't know how, like, easy, quote-unquote easy it is for a new release to immediately shoot to the number one on the 200, but this could do it. I don't know what the competition ain't a whole lot other than Minaj and the stuff that's already up there.
Unless there's, yeah.
So, yeah, strong record.
Definitely. Definitely a good record.
What else am I trying to say?
Give me your top three songs.
Top three songs. Let's see. I think Guilt. I think Messier is one of them, which I always read as Messier for some reason.
Yeah, I read it as that too.
Maybe I don't see the word Messier enough, or maybe it's just the association with hockey that she's forged where I just read it as Mark Messier now. But Messier is one of them. I Cut My Hair is also one of them. And then I think I might still want to have Greedy in there. Greedy's just a lot of fun. It's an earworm. It's been in my head the entire time I've been like since I've been listening to this album for this show. It's been in my head the whole time.
That's dope, man. That's what we said.
The chorus is kind of like incoherent though. It's hard to understand what she's actually saying in the chorus on that song.
I'm not a big fan.
Like, it just kind of, I don't, it's not like super clear what she's actually saying, which is a knock on the song, but it's fun, it's poppy, it's colorful.
Yeah, that's not my favorite sound that Tate McRae can wield. Messier is definitely my favorite. I would say Messier, Want That Too, Plastic Palm Trees. Shout out Calgary and Run for the Hills. I really like those. But, I mean, just another pop record that, just like another kind of thoughtful pop record that we get. It also came with individual visuals. I don't know if they're all going to be music videos, but I don't know. I mean, if you're listening to this on Spotify and you haven't turned the, because I forgot you could turn those off.
Yeah, I turned them off because,
I don't know what these are called, by the way.
They're called canvases.
Yeah, so when you play a song instead of the album cover, it's like a little like 10-second clip.
Looping visual.
And each song has a different visual, and I'm someone who's kind of a sucker for like the complete artistry.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of why I really like Cole Bennett is that anytime Cole Bennett makes a video, it kind of elevates the song, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is just really thoughtful. She is hot right now. And I think this will only keep her hot. This was a good record, head to toe. There are some lows, but they're obviously subjective. Like, the lows for me are Greedy and X's, because I prefer Tate McRae to stay away from that sound, just because, one, I don't really like that sound. But the highs are way higher than I thought. The floor with a major pop record is going to be high. The floor here is probably higher than the Kid Laroi one, I think.
Oof.
But the Kid Laroi one is an awesome record. Like, these are just two pop records in a row that I didn't think I would like as much that I thoroughly enjoyed.
Yeah. To be honest, like, I don't know why, but I feel like I was just kind of expecting it to be as good as it was. Maybe because I did enjoy the singles, and I was just kind of expecting more of that type of sound, which is a sound in pop music that I really like. I think more than I'm bad at talking this morning, but I think for me, like, I wouldn't say I'm like hugely impressed by it, because I was always already expecting it to be good, and it met the expectations of being good. So Shout out Tate McRae. Good work there.
Yeah. This is a good record. Looking forward to the next one.
Yeah.
And
I believe we should.
Yeah, let's. What should we play?
I think we can play anything on this album, really, because there should be clean versions available. I was thinking Cut My Hair.
You want to play Cut My Hair?
But if you can find a clean version of Messier, we could do that too.
Let's find out.
You're the one on Ox, so you get to make these decisions. All right, so there's one that exists. So yeah. Hugh, I'll leave it up to you. You just make the call right now.
So this is Messier off of Tate McRae's new record, Think Later.
I think we can leave those on. Technical difficulties in the studio here. Here, just try going again. Yeah, sorry about this, folks. We are live, which is the downside of live when you try to play a song and the song don't play.
Yeah, it just came out of my computer.
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, here we go. Here's Messier by Tate McRae.
Tell me something that I don't know already. Cause baby, you can talk in circles for hours. Make a good day sour. Then you look me straight into my eyes, say that you're sorry. How could I not believe in you? You said it was safe to do. We both know this happens every time. Every time you tell me a lie, I'll tell you five. Which one of us today is gonna cry, gonna cry? Back and forth we're going.
Save it. Vancouver. For fans of Ocean Alley, Flip Turn, and Still Woozy, alt rockers Juice are bringing their signature blend of rock, pop, R&B, and hip-hop to the Biltmore Cabaret on February 3rd, with support from Hembry. Tickets are on sale now. Get yours at admitone.com. Looking for an audioscape to put your mind at ease? Landscapes by Dune is a musical journey through sampling and field recording. From the busy streets of Toronto to BC's picturesque landscapes, the Belgian artist recorded an array of sounds during his travels across Canada. Landscapes will be released on Pop Qatari Records Bandcamp on December 8th and will be available on all streaming platforms on December 15th. For more information, check out at Dune as Dune on Facebook, Instagram, and SoundCloud.
Hey, this is Jeremy from Kiwi Junior, and you're listening to CITR 101.9.
And we back, and we back, and we are back.
That was Messier.
That was Messier.
That was Mark Messier.
Shout out Mark Messier by Tate McRae. Canuck legend. Which, in some circles, is fighting words. But we're not going to worry about that here.
I didn't even know he was on the Canucks. Anyway.
Oh, he was on the Canucks. It didn't go very well.
Was this like after the Rangers?
Yeah.
Where's he from?
He's from Alberta, I want to say.
How long was he on the Canucks for?
It was like 3-4 seasons,
oh,
I think.
Oh, wow.
He was captain. They like stripped Linden's captaincy and gave it to Messier or something like that. It was a whole thing.
Fair enough, man.
I don't remember all the details. It didn't go well. I think, like, Messi himself played fine, but, you know, not at, like, Mark Messier caliber. But at the same time, it was the end of his career.
Who did he beat to win the cup with the Rangers?
The Canucks.
Oh, that's the Canuck run.
1994, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. For some reason, I thought it might have been the Ducks.
It wasn't.
It was the Canucks.
Yep.
Was that Bure?
That was the Bure, Linden, Kirk McLean era. 1994.
It's hard to win a Stanley, hard to win a championship. Anyways, it's also hard to release a good sequel.
Yes.
Some things do it well. Godfather 2.
Mm-hmm.
Toy Story 2 is really good.
Yep.
Pink Friday 2?
Is Pink Friday 2 as good as Toy Story 2? Let's discuss.
So Pink Friday 1, kind of Nicki Minaj's like... I mean, Pink Friday 1 is, like, probably my favorite Nicki Minaj record. Like, that album is kind of just, like, cemented in my childhood.
I wouldn't say I have a favorite Nicki Minaj album, but, yeah, the original Pink Friday's got...
It has Moment for Life, Roman's Revenge, Super Bass.
It's got her classics.
Bedrock on here, apparently.
Yeah.
But like it has classics. It is considered a classic Nicki Minaj record. The follow up has finally come out. I didn't actually know it was coming out. The single or one of these singles, "Super Freaky Girl," came out like.
Possibly I feel like I've heard that a while ago. Yeah, that was it was surprisingly familiar.
Yeah,
like I had heard that before, and "Super Freaky Girl" is kind of. I think it is a good single because it lets you know what there's going to be a lot of on this album,
yep.
Which is some generous samples.
Yeah, I mean, so...
As exemplified by the
intro
track.
I guess first we should start with our expectations for this record.
Okay, sure.
Now, as someone who doesn't really...
You've badmouthed Nicki Minaj quite harshly in the past. I don't want you to try to sugarcoat your opinions
no,
on Nicki
Minaj.
No,
as someone who doesn't follow... hip-hop that much. I didn't know this record was coming out. Now, I would expect that there was probably a large rollout. I don't know if that's true because of what, but Nicki Minaj's last record, which might have been Beam Me Up, Scotty.
Had Seeing Green on it.
Which is a really cool song.
That's a trio, though, that Drake, Nicki Minaj, yeah, Lil Wayne. That's a trio that hits consistently.
But for Nicki Minaj standards, I would say Beam Me Up, Scotty probably fell a bit short. The record before was Queen, which if I remember correctly, was kind of the record that she kicked up a fuss about because Astroworld beat it to number one. And I only remember that because in my favorite music video of all time, which is Childish Gambino's Summertime Magic,
mm-hmm.
Or Feels Like Summer.
Yeah.
Travis Scott pulls the block out from the castle that Nicki Minaj is building and it collapses. So, Pink Friday 2, I think that Nicki Minaj would expect this to do incredibly well. Now, as you said, my expectations for this, knowing that it's Pink Friday 2, I kind of was like, okay, I have to listen to this now. Because Pink Friday 1 was so good, and for you to call it the sequel to that
mm-hmm.
means that there's probably a lot on the line.
Yeah.
Or you're expecting a lot from this. So I was like, okay, this is probably going to be pretty good. Nicki Minaj at her peak, as we know, in Monster or...
Or Super Bass or Starships.
Yeah,
or...
Bedrock. Like she can be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's come down a bit in recent years. But this album is ambitious. This is an ambitious record. We can say that. There are some wild contemporary mm-hmm. samples. I like what she's doing with the contemporary samples because a lot of people, they sample old. When I mean contemporary, I mean like the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people, they go back. Like Kanye West goes to the 60s. Kendrick Lamar finds stuff from the 70s. All that cool. Like those are really cool. Contemporary sampling kind of hasn't gotten that huge yet. Or like people who do it are like kind of like drill rappers.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Hey Soul Sister.
Yeah, yeah.
Like stuff like that. So this album has...
This album opens with...
One of the craziest samples I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Easily. We should probably play it. Like later. It's clean. So
it is clean. We could do it. What's the...
Call Me When the Party's Over.
When the Party's Over. This album opens with a sample of When the Party's Over by Billie Eilish, which has just been... chipmunked, and it's a very generous sample. Like a big portion of the song is just dedicated to letting Billie Eilish sing again,
and it's like interpolated, it's like sped up and pitched up.
Yeah And then like Nicki Minaj comes in and kind of
sings.
Sucks.
She's like singing.
Yeah, I don't like that song. I feel like for me, when it comes to contemporary sampling, I feel like I'm kind of resistant to it. Or maybe it's not that it's contemporary sampling, but it's just the generosity of the contemporary sample, because it comes up again later on this record and it's actually kind of cool in that sense.
Yeah.
So I think it's just the heavy sampling that I'm more resistant to. But anyway,
I like the idea of trying to sample When the Party's Over.
Yeah, sure, the idea is cool.
I think you... Yeah, like...
I don't think the execution here was here for this song, because Nicki just kind of...
Because it is kind of the whole song.
When she comes in and she just kind of feels like she's just sort of speaking on top of it, and I don't feel like it really fits with the sample very much. I didn't enjoy that first song. That started it off on a bad foot for me. But...
Now, I must say that this is a 22-song record. This is a long record.
Mm-hmm.
The Tate McRae album was only 35 minutes long.
Yeah.
Compact, clean.
Mm-hmm.
This is a long record. And I mean, as someone who loves Drake albums, I'm someone who kind of enjoys...
Desensitized?
Yeah, desensitized. I kind of enjoy long records.
Yeah, I feel like an hour is kind of the upper limit of long, or like the upper limit of kind of a reasonable album length. Generally.
Yeah, an hour. Yeah, anything over an hour.
And this is 70 minutes, so it's 22 songs, but only about an hour, so it's not that insanely long.
We should also probably mention the features.
We're kind of beating around the bush. I didn't expect to enjoy this album. I don't really know why I didn't expect to enjoy it.
Have you listened to Nicki Minaj records previously, like front to back?
No, I've not. I just heard her when she's on, pretty much. And, like, she's cool. She's got a personality. I just didn't really know what to expect out of her as, like, an album artist. But I enjoyed this album. Like, surprising.
Me as well.
Yeah, like, this album impressed me. I enjoyed this more than I expected to. The features are quite strong throughout this album, I feel.
Features include J. Cole, Lil Wang, Tate Cobain, who's kind of all over this record. I've never heard of him, so it's kind of an introduction for us. Drake, Lord D's, new artists, I think. Lil Uzi Vert, Skilly Bang and Skang, who are kind of like these Afrobeat guys. This is like her like Ode to Trinidad song there. Future Hendrix and Tasha Cobbs Leonard, who sounds like a soul singer, I think. But this is a record that is largely mostly Nicki Minaj, which is something that I always appreciate, particularly from giant artists.
Yeah.
Because like you giant... can always just load every song up with, like, you could DJ Khaled's Khaled record if you want.
Yeah, I mean, even, like, Travis, like, Utopia's got, like, two features per song on a bunch of songs.
Oh, yeah, it does.
So it's a pretty common thing in modern hip-hop to load up on the features. And there's a good amount of them, but there's also stretches here where it's just her.
Yeah.
So they're spaced out pretty well. Or like they're concentrated and then there's gaps.
Yeah, I the track listening is good. And I have to say, like you said, I actually really enjoyed this record. I probably enjoyed it more than I thought. The production from top to bottom on this record is insane. Like truly crazy. The beat on the J. Cole song, Let Me Calm Down, is like maybe one of my favorite beats I've heard all year. Like on par with like Telekinesis and Rich Baby Daddy. Like I think it is so ambient, so cool, and they both like absolutely kill it. The beat on R&B, the Drake song, there's the I don't even know where the Travis Scott sample is, but that song is fantastic. Obviously Super Freaky Girl has a crazy sample. That's very ambitious. I think Nicki Minaj actually the execution on that is really good. That might have like kickstarted the kind of there was kind of a wave there where female rappers were kind of using all these popular old school samples, like Coi Leray had that with that one song, Megan Thee Stallion, with like the 1982 song. Megan Thee Stallion did it a few times. So Nicki Minaj executes. There's another, I mean, there's just the production on here is fantastic. It's what you'd expect.
The beat on the Lil Uzi Vert song is quite funky as well. It's kind of a just want to rock type of type of energy.
Like that's kind of the way he's going now.
Yeah, that's what they're up to more so. But I think that song goes over well. Better for Uzi than for Nicki on that particular track, in my opinion. But again, like different ambitious production.
Yeah, and there's stuff that you wouldn't expect Nicki Minaj. Like the Drake song is like fully Afrobeat. The Skilly Bang Skang song is Afrobeat. And then there's like the classic like Nicki Minaj songs with like kind of like the stripped 808s with just like her just kind of like going in. And that's not something I personally like love, but those songs are like Nicki Minaj can absolutely rap. She's one of the best rappers of probably in hip hop history because she can, I mean, her inflection, she can go fast, she can go slow. Like Nicki Minaj still has bars on this record.
Yeah. Just the memories, the closing track, I want to shout that one out too because I enjoyed that one a lot. Thought it brought in good imagery, kind of painted a nice picture of memories, of loss, of kind of growing up a bit too. So a little bit of some introspection in spots. It's mostly not. It's mostly pretty sexual album, but again, that's what you expect, but you know, you get some introspection towards the end there too, which is appreciated.
I mean, like you said, it is kind of thematically, it is kind of a
like there are a lot of like very similar topics throughout the song,
like standard Nicki Minaj album.
But you know,
it's kind of probably her life, kind of talking about her life.
You throw a nice beat under it, you put a nice bit of sass on the vocals, and you can make it work.
I think more people can enjoy this record than I would have thought. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of diversity in the beats. All of the features are far different sounding than Nicki, which is awesome. I personally really like the Drake one. I really like the J. Cole one, and I really like the Future one. I really like The Last Time I Saw You and Just the Memories. There's a lot of songs in here. Pink Friday Girl samples Cyndi Lauper. Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Yep.
That's another fun song. There is a song in here that samples Pornography.
Yeah, by Travis Scott.
I can't remember which one that was.
Neither can I.
I think it's Pink Birthday.
Yeah, it's around the middle, which is where Pink Birthday is, so.
But that is such a cool instrumental.
R&B is I like laughed twice listening to R&B.
Yeah, it's Lil Wayne and Nicki Minaj. Like, yeah. It's hard to go wrong there.
Tate Cobain, good on the hook.
Yeah, he
no idea
sounds
who
like
that
Chris
guy
Brown.
Was, but you know, it's the day of the Tate apparently.
Yeah. And he has production credits everywhere. Mm-hmm. This is an enjoyable record.
Yeah.
This is... I think that this is a pretty good record. I would love to see, like, how people digest this and what, like... Just because I'm not someone who indulges in Nicki Minaj that often.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like you said, like, I'll hear her on, like, the big hits and the features. This is the second Nicki Minaj record that I've listened to in full. I listened to Queen when it came out. There's some songs on there that I really liked, like the Ariana Grande one. The Labyrinth and Eminem one was really cool. There was a Weeknd song. The Swae Lee one is really cool. Chun-Li's also cool on that album. So, mm-hmm. like, Nicki Minaj, there's always going to be bright spots just because she's that good and she can kind of demand, like... that like demand the best from artists around her.
Mm-hmm.
There's more bright spots than I thought.
Yeah.
And there's also less valleys than I expected.
Exactly.
Like,
I was going to say there aren't that many lows.
And sometimes like Nicki Minaj can throw a dud.
Mm-hmm. What are you trying to say?
The song Stupid Ho is like a dud. Like, where it's just repetitive. There's none of that.
Right, yeah, that song. Yes, I'm remembering that now, yeah. None of that here.
No, this was a really good weekend for music.
It did get the red flannel from Fantano, though.
Oh, it did?
How does that make you feel? Anthony Fantano's in a weird place, though. We don't need to talk about that.
Oh, really?
Feel like he is. I feel like he's falling off.
Oh, why?
I mean, just, like, the reviews are all, like, 6 minutes long at this point. I feel like he's sort of less enthusiastic and excited a bit.
Well, I think he's transitioning more to live streaming.
Yeah, live streaming and the...
This is live streams.
Short form content.
I listened to his live stream for All the Dogs. It was really fun.
Okay.
Live
streaming might just be the way at this point. I feel like live streaming is getting huge. In popularity, people kind of moving
over
to that.
Yeah, it's been big forever,
so.
Man.
Well, I mean, it's always been
But people
big.
Like Speed and Kai Cenat have made it even bigger.
Yeah.
And you got to shout those guys out. And Anthony Fantano's live streams are fun when, like, new music comes out. Okay. I don't listen to them, on, like, Wednesday or whatever.
Does he even do one on
Wednesday?
I don't know.
I think
he only does New Music Friday.
Yeah, and I listened to his Utopia one.
Right.
And, like, he's still really fun.
All right.
But, I mean, I don't watch his reviews really anymore.
No, neither do I. Maybe that's just why I think he's fallen off, because I'm not watching as much anymore. Maybe he's still got it. I don't know.
I mean, shout out Anthony Fantano.
He's just a guy. At the end of the day, he's just a guy, so what does it matter?
Anyways, we should play a song.
We should play a song.
Because this is a fun album. This mm-hmm. is an enjoyable record.
Yeah.
I think we should play the Billy song. I mean, one, it's the only clean record.
Well, no, there's a clean version of that album that exists.
Do you want to play, what are you thinking of? Do you want to play the Drake song?
I mean, I'd like to play the J. Cole song.
You want to play the clean? Is there okay?
Yeah, I believe there is.
Let's find it.
If we have to, we can go to the intro. But I don't care for the intro on this album. So
all right, there's a clean version of the J. Cole song.
All right.
So this is "Let Me Calm Down" by Nicki Minaj featuring J. Cole off of her new record, Pink Friday 2.
Let's see if the aux works.
Yeah, we're gonna just make sure it works.
Mm-hmm. And. Pull up and I almost hit him.
He acting like I ain't always with him. My heart saying I love him while I'm screaming out I hate him. And ain't no more debating, this time it's the ultimatum. I never forgot where I was at the first day I met him. Yeah, it was love at first sight, but I ain't never sweat him. I knew if it was meant to be that one day I would let him. 20 years later, them decisions, I don't regret them. Just wish you would give me space when I really need it. To be alone in my zone when I'm really heated. Just cause I am quiet, don't mean you're defeated. Wish you ain't need me to feel like you're completed. Don't wanna say something mean when I don't mean it. Million missed calls, I don't wanna talk. Just did a detox, now I wanna spark.
Like them was in a vision for herself, so she can't rest until she feel like she done made a mark. So if you love her, then you gotta learn to play a part. Sometimes you gotta play the bet, but when you do, make sure you play it smart. All these niggas want her, so they hating hard. They talking slick and make you wanna pull a rate at all. You like her lover, like a brother, like her manager, an A&R, plus a therapist when it start raining hard. Her life was trauma filled, it left her with a tainted heart. Yeah, you the nigga that she wanna tat her name across. But you need patience and a lot of extra faith in God to keep the family together at a time when it's so regular to break apart. So God forbid y'all got a kid, therefore I hate the thought. It's you and her against the world until it ain't no more breath in your lungs. I'm just a messenger, but God is who this message is from. I wanna send you my respect because I rep for the ones that hold they wifey down despite all of the extras that come. Word to Willie Smith, these silly n****s heckling shun as if their life is somehow perfect and they never been plunged into a dark place, so I can't respect when it's done. It's family first through the worst, coming second to none, for real.
Are you a writer?
Listener?
Dreamer?
Music nerd?
Want to cover artists?
Visit venues?
Write something?
Events?
Personal essays?
Anything!
Submit to Discorder magazine and then take it a step further on Hail Discordia with your hosts, Zoe
and Izzy. Hail Discordia is an audio translation of Discorder magazine. We interview writers, play music and soundscapes, and do a deep dive of each zine issue. Hail Discordia plays at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the third Thursday of every month on CITR 101.9 FM.
Submit something for the magazine and come onto the show, or just tune in and listen. We promise it's worth it.
Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop is Vancouver's choicest destination for one-of-a-kind artist-made prints, posters, screen prints, riso prints, paintings, acrylic paintings, watercolor paintings, ceramic mugs, ceramic plates, ceramic bowls, ceramic pots, lapel pins, hats, toques, crochet bathing suits, jewelry, trinkets, knickknacks, hand-painted signs, curated thrift, and a bunch more stuff that won't fit in this designated block of airtime. Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop, located at 1636 Venables, just off Commercial. Open 11 to 6, 6 days a week.
And we're back for the last 5 minutes here.
5.5 minutes. That was J. Cole and Nicki Minaj.
That was J. Cole.
Impressive
and Nicki Minaj.
J. Cole verse, man.
Yeah. No, that guy's. I mean, that guy's just
Will
great.
Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Considering it's like a famous line of his that.
Yeah, the Jada and the Will love.
Yeah. But yeah, man, that was a. That was a lot of music for us to digest this week.
Yeah, busy week.
Now, perhaps we could get a lot this week. There might, I mean...
Come closer to the mic, please. Hugh, it's impressive the new and innovative ways you keep coming up with and not talking to the microphone
I'm sorry. We could get new SZA this week. I don't know when her deluxe, her Lana album, which I think is just a deluxe of SOS.
Yeah.
That would be dope.
It's been announced.
She said December, and there's only like...
Two weeks left in December.
It would be really cool to release it in between Christmas and New Year's. That's a fun time to do it. You would probably get an insane amount of listens just because not everyone, but a lot of people aren't working.
Mm-hmm.
Shot of Flow 7 came out this week.
And Annalie Choppa with his seventh version of Shot of Flow. Won't be tuning in, but good on him for still being alive.
Yeah, shout out Annalie.
I know you're good friends with him.
I am good friends with Annalie. He was up and then he was down and then he was kind of up again.
The Kanye West Ty Dolla $ign album looks like it's going to be coming out on the 15th.
Is that confirmed?
You can pre-save it on Apple Music. So like it's there.
What are your thoughts on that?
On what the record
on another Kanye West record. Like it hasn't been that long.
No. It's really not been that long since
his implosion,
Alex Jones and everything. Like, you know, I'll listen to it. I'm not above that. Like, I am going to tune in. I am curious. And it'll be interesting.
Yeah, it'll be
interesting. Like what he talks about
exactly.
And how he frames what has happened to him lately, because that could be very telling.
Yeah.
On
maybe he just says I'm insane.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
But this is also Kanye West.
I'm really curious as to Ty Dolla $ign's motives, because this kind of just put yourself in a black box by doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if we'll ever hear Ty Dolla $ign doing backing vocals on a Drake record again, or a DJ Khaled record again, or a Travis Scott record again. Because
no, but Travis Scott's got yay over Biden, though.
Yeah, that was obviously before the latest implosion. Now, I saw that he was in Saudi Arabia, and it looked like he was really cooking.
Yeah, was in his self-imposed isolation, which he likes to do.
I mean... I'm curious how everyone else, how people digest this. Because like you said, I'm interested in what he has to say. Because there's no way that someone like Kanye West doesn't talk about it.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and like how does he frame what happens to? Like, is he going to like go with a hard persecution complex? Is he gonna be like, y'all don't get me? Is he gonna be like, is it gonna be like a runaway, or it's just like, I'm terrible? Probably not the third option. I don't expect that, but it'll be a curious listen. And if nothing else, that's good promo for a record, just to get people intrigued.
Yeah,
to do a bunch of insane things, and then that'll get people interested. So maybe it's just a 3D the 8D snakes and ladders marketing technique by the kid. But probably not.
I mean, we'll find out, man.
Probably not, but it's 11:59, so we're going to have to wrap up here.
I guess I think we'll be back live one more time next week. The 20th?
The 20th? I don't think so. My last exam's the 19th, and I don't know if I'm going
home. Well, I'll be here. Mine is the 21st, so.
Okay.
I could maybe come and
sling
some chewing.
No, I can. True, I can just stick around in the morning and crank out one more show. I could do that. So, it's noon, though. We got to get off. All right.
This has been Music Show on the Menu.
Yep. Thank you all for listening. Yep.
Enjoy your week.
Yep. Bye.
Died at 75 years old. My goodness, he was suffering diabetes for a while. And anyways, we got a Christmas song to start with. It's called Holiday by April Wine. Basically Christmas. Here it is on the Shakespeare Show 101.9 FM CITR.